Welcome to The Weekly Option, the podcast for people interested in trading stock options. Each week, we cover trade ideas and opportunities in the stock market right now. Whether you're a beginner, a professional, or just curious about options, this is the show for you. Let's get started. Welcome to The Weekly Option. This is episode 100 on February 7th, 2020. I'm your host, Eric. And in this week's show, we will cover the trades from last week on Goldfields Limited, FireEye Inc., and the United States Natural Gas ETF. And we discuss three new trades on Sprint Corporation, Bank of America, and Uber. Now, it's always great to hear from listeners. If you have any questions about the trades presented here on the show, or even about your own positions, feel free to email me. You can send questions to eric@theweeklyoption.com. That's eric@theweeklyoption.com. I've also created a short video series to teach you all the basics of option trading that you'll need to understand to be able to follow along with me on this show. You can visit our website and click on the videos tab to watch them, or visit the YouTube channel for The Weekly Option. Now, the equity markets this week returned to the higher end of the recent highs. The Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 846 points week over week, closing at 29,102 points. The S&P 500 index grew 102 points, closing out the week at 3,327 points. Now, we're going to get into the topic of the week. The topic of the week is sponsored by the Option Studio. If you want to learn to trade options without any calculus or confusing language, visit the website to learn more about the online course. Visit www.theoptionstudio.com for more information. So the topic of the week this week is about transferable skills versus nuanced specialization. Now, I'm defining a transferable skill as a talent that can be used in more than one area. So you learn it in one area, but it's transferable. You can use it in another area. So learning to use technical analysis can be a transferable skill. So this past week, I successfully forecast a 10% increase in a cryptocurrency I was trading in the same day. Now, the timing of the move shocked me. I wasn't expecting the full move to happen in a single day, but the direction was right in line with my analysis, and I'm relatively new to trading cryptocurrencies. In that scenario, technical analysis, something I learned in the equity markets, is transferable to the crypto markets. Well, being able to trade options is also a transferable skill. And you'll find that there are options on stock, of course. There are options on currencies, on commodities, on ETFs, on bonds, and more. Actually, this week was speaking with some guys who are specialists in trading commodity options, trading oil options. I know plenty of guys here in Houston who trade natural gas options and gasoline and diesel options. So you name it. I mean, these are again, skills that I learned trading equity and ETF options at the Chicago Board Options Exchange in Chicago. And yet it's still applicable to the commodity, the energy market. So trading options can be a transferable skill. Now, the one difference, of course, is that there are these things called exotic options, and they trade a little differently. But when it comes to regular or what's known as plain vanilla options, the same rules can be carried from asset class to asset class. So learning to trade options will actually improve or can improve your overall level of investment knowledge and skill, whether you're trading stock or you decide to trade Forex and currencies at some point. Now, a nuanced specialization is a little different. So when it comes to specializing, each company, each commodity, each asset class has its own nuances that are unique to that individual asset class. I have a friend who is a specialist on one stock in particular. I mean, he follows them and can predict the management's next move. I mean, he honestly trades the stock like an insider. His knowledge of the company is so nuanced that it only applies to that company alone. He can't use the same knowledge or style with another company. So if you are highly detailed, it might be worth doing a deep dive into a couple of equities and or even commodities, something along those lines, and just really getting to know them, because it'll give you a bit of an edge when it comes to trading that particular asset class or company or whatever it is relative to the market. So either way, because trading options is a transferable skill, you'll find yourself being able to find trades in all sorts of options when you get good at it. But when you find a trade or an asset class or companies that you like, I challenge you to do a deep dive, go deeper, learn the nuances so that you have specialized knowledge and presumably some specialized information when it comes to trading that might give you an edge so that you can make a little extra money. So when it comes to trading, we all are looking to be able to clearly define our edge, and having specialized knowledge is an edge. Knowing how to trade options is an edge too. So it's a good thing that you guys have all, for the most part, if you're listening to me on the show week after week, you've committed to learning options at a level that I would say is deeper than people that just decide to read a book and then, you know, put it down because it may have gotten a little too tricky. So that's it for the topic of the week. Short one this week. Just wanted to mention some of that. And now let's get into the trade review from last week's trade. So, of course, overall, you know that I sold a call spread and bought a put spread. So given that the market returned to recent highs, you would think that those would have been losing trades. But let's see what happened. So we'll start off with the covered call. We looked at Goldfields Limited, which was an ADR. The symbol for that is G as in golf, F as in foxtrot, I as in India. At the time, the stock was trading for $6.40. I bought the stock and sold the February 7 call at 8 cents, hoping for a return of 10.63% in a matter of 3 weeks. Well, Goldfield stock grew 11 cents this week, closing at $6.51 per share. The February 7 call we sold can be bought back or repurchased for 10 cents, which is technically a loss of 2 cents per option. However, you can sell more call options at 8 cents, which is the same price we received last week. This leads me to say that you gained really 11 cents on the stock, and there's no real change in the call option value at all. Now, if GFI stock finishes at or above $7 per share in 2 weeks, you still have a strong chance of gaining 10.63% return this month. And it's highly unusual to take out 5 days of pricing from an option and have it still be priced the same way. So to remove that time value, right? We've spoken about time value on the show before. To remove that extra time and to still have that option be valued there, you know that either volatility increased, something changed, right? To change the expectation. So I try to avoid speaking directly about volatility on this show, but those of you who are a little more advanced will understand exactly what I'm saying. So that's it for the covered call. Really no move to be made unless you have lost confidence in the stock for the next 2 weeks, and it's worth closing out at that point. You could do so with a little bit of profit in the stock. Now, our second trade last week was a credit spread. We looked at FireEye Inc., symbol F as in Foxtrot, E as in Echo, Y as in Yankee, E as in Echo. The stock at the time was trading for $15.98 per share. We looked at just selling the February 16, 16 half call spread at 18 cents, which can give us, of course, a maximum possible loss of 32 cents per spread if the trade goes against us. So FireEye stock fell 90 cents this week, closing at $15.08 per share. The out-of-the-money call spread we sold is even further out of the money now. So if you were to close the spread right now, you could buy it back for 7 cents, which is a gain of 11 cents in 1 week. That 11 cents, remember, our maximum gain when we did this spread, when we sold it, our max is the amount that we sold it for. We sold it for 18% or 18 cents. So to be able to collect 11 cents in a week means that you made 61% of your total profit, your total maximum profit for the trade in just a week. Now, with 2 weeks left before February expiration, You can close the trade or ride it out to pick up the rest of the profit if this trade does expire worthless. So at this point in time, I'd say no adjustments are required unless you decide to go ahead and lock in your profit early. And there are times when it makes sense to do that just from a logical standpoint. Options theory will tell you that you never close out a call position unless there's a dividend coming. But as we've, if you are a student at all of behavioral economics, you know that we are not logical cogs making rational decisions in the world. Sometimes the rational decision is to take the money off the table. So just depends on your trading style and your own individual risk profile, right? So our last trade for review from last week is a debit spread. We looked at the United States Natural Gas ETF, symbol U as in uniform, N as in November, G as in golf. Last week, the stock was trading for $14.37 per share. We looked at buying that February 15, 14 half put spread, paying 35 cents for the spread, which gives us a maximum gain of 15 cents or the possibility of 43% return in 3 weeks. Well, the UNG ETF finished the week at $14.45 per share, which is just a gain of 8 cents. The in-the-money put spread we purchased hasn't changed in value. Now, if you were to purchase more of the spread, you can still buy more of this spread for 35 cents per spread. And if you were to close the trade out, you'd cross the bid-ask spread and it would cost you 8 cents. You would actually lose 8 cents if you decided to close the trade today. Now, there's no need to make any adjustments to this trade either since we haven't moved any closer to the break-even point. As well, the payoff, if we were to look at selling a lower strike put spread, the payoff just isn't there. There's not enough premium that makes it worth selling that put spread and altering our current risk profile. A lot of that has to do with the fact that there's only 2 weeks left in the month of February. And if you were to extend this trade into a new month like March, you actually, again, are changing the risk dynamics of our original trade by adding time to it. So I like to keep my trades, my trade ideas, any trade adjustments focused on 1 month to see if my trading thesis is going to work out or not. And if it doesn't, I'm happy to close it out in that month and then look to another month, unless, of course, I'm doing something specific like a calendar spread. But by and large, I keep my trades in 1 month. Now, that's it for the trade review of last week. Let's get into the new trades this week. I know some of you guys really like these, and I get emails all the time from people who actually take part in this. So it excites me actually to find new trades every week because of that. So thank you guys again for listening. I can't express my excitement to A, be at episode 100, 4 episodes away from my 2-year anniversary, and then B, to know that I'm getting, you know, several hundred people every week, and that number is growing weekly as well. Several people listening to the show, so you guys are awesome. All right, let's get into the trades for this week. We're going to start off as usual with the covered call, and I'm going to start off right off the bat with this trade and say the numbers look fine, but I probably would not do this trade given that there's only 2 weeks left. It just depends. And I kind of feel that way about the next two trades as well, although they're different. When you're trading spreads, it's a different, totally different risk dynamic than when you're trading a covered call. As we know, with the covered call, you're fully exposed on the stock. So the money that you receive when you sell that call option can act as a cushion on a stock move that goes against you. But if the stock moves huge, then you're going to get banged up and there's not a whole lot you can do with it, or do about it. So that being said, covered call this week, I'm looking at Sprint Corporation, the telecom company, symbol S as in Sierra. The stock ended the week at $4.93 per share. If you own this stock, I would look at selling the February 5 call at 63 cents. This can yield a maximum return of 14.2% in 2 weeks. And if you own this stock, you have probably sustained months and months and months, if not years, of decline in the stock. And I hope that you are selling as many calls as often as you can to hedge and offset some of that loss that the stock has taken. If you don't have this trade on already, it might be difficult given that this stock is now trading for under $5, which makes it a penny stock, or it's right about to be. So you enter this trade by buying Sprint stock for $4.93 per share and then selling the February 5 call at 63 cents. This trade makes the most money if stock prices finish above $5 per share. The break-even price is $4.30 per share. Now, in real terms, the stock purchase would require $493, and you would collect $63 for selling the option. Our next trade is going to be a credit spread on Bank of America. We're looking at Bank of America stock, symbol B as in Bravo, A as in Alpha, C as in Charlie. Stock ended the week at $34.61 per share, and I'm looking at selling that February 34 half, 34 put spread, collecting 16 cents, and that can give us a maximum possible loss of 34 cents per spread. Now, you enter this trade by selling the February 34 half put at 46 cents and buying the February 34 put for 30 cents. This is a credit spread because we are selling the spread, and this trade makes the most money if stock prices finish above $34.50 per share. The break-even price is $34.34. Now, in real terms, you would receive $16 per spread that you sell and have $34 at risk for the next 2 weeks. And then our final trade for the week is going to be a debit spread. We're looking at Uber, symbol Uber, U as in uniform, B as in Bravo, E as in Echo, and R as in Romeo. The stock ended the week at $40.63 per share, and I'm looking at buying this February 40-40.5 call spread for 32 cents, which can give us a maximum return of 18 cents or 56.25% return on your capital in 2 weeks. Now, you enter this trade by buying the February 40 call for $1.76 and selling the February 40.5 call at $1.44. This is a debit spread because we are buying the spread. This trade makes the most money if stock prices remain above $40.50 per share, and the break-even price on this trade is $40.32 per share. So in real terms, you'll pay $32 to enter this spread. Your maximum gain is going to be $18 per spread. So that's it for the trades for this week. Thank you guys for joining me on this 100-episode journey. I'm totally psyched about what's going to happen over the next month when I get to the two-year term. And, you know, I'm trying to put together a contest. Why don't you guys email me and tell me what sort of reward or what sort of prize, what type of contest we should do? It'd be great to get your feedback. Thank you so much for listening. And please share the show. If you have friends that trade options or are learning to trade options in their personal account, definitely share the show with them. I'd love to be able to have them follow along with us on this journey too. Have a great week. Happy trading. Thank you for listening to the Weekly Option Podcast. Please subscribe to our show and visit us at www.theweeklyoption.com. Disclaimer, there is a very high degree of risk involved in trading. The indicators and strategies described in this podcast are for educational purposes only and should not be construed as investment advice. For our full disclaimer, visit our website at www.theweeklyoption.com.